Loyal listeners, if you would like to get the HLS podcast ad-free, as well as get some bonus content like the National Recap podcast, as well as some other random musings from myself, make sure you head over to patreon.com/ndtex. It is just $1 a month or more, if you so choose, to access all of this bonus content. And I would like to thank new patrons, Brian S. and Brent L. Thank you all so much for your support. Hello and welcome to another edition of the HLS Picks Podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Ritter. You can call me ND Tex. And as always, you can subscribe to the pod over on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, wherever you happen to get your podcast feeds at. Make sure to come join us on Twitch at twitch.tv/HelloSons on Thursdays at 9 p.m. Central for the good old Sim Discord at herlittlesons.com/discord, and of course, you can always find us at herlittlesons.com. That said, time to bring in Eddie. Eddie, how you doing, sir?
Ryan, I'm upset. The baseball is bad. You took games off of me. I don't like these picks we're about to make. I am full of both vim and vigor. I don't know what vim is, but it's in me. I hate it.
Vim was something I used in college. It was a command line like coding interface.
I'm angry at you for whatever the fuck you just said. I hate everything.
Command line interface isn't good. A text editor. It highlighted certain words, made things very easy to read when you were coding stuff.
I'll command interline your face, bitch.
Yeah. So as Eddie said, I did gain 2 games on him. This means he now has a 3-game lead. So I went 8-4 last week. Eddie's 6-6. But that's the way things have been going. One of us will go 500, and that's not good enough this season.
500 is a bad week this year. I know. That's how you know it's a chaos year.
And that's also why I keep holding my breath and bracing myself, you know, for things just to go really poorly.
When I started the week 1-5, I was like, okay, here it comes. And in real life, it was going very bad. I had, remind me after the recording, because I'm not going to put this on the internet, but the emotional and financial swing provided on Saturday was quite the roller coaster.
I'll have to keep that in mind. But yeah, my record moves up to 58-41-2. Eddie stands strong at 61-38-2. Like I said, that is a 3-game lead. We are playing for the biggest Extra Life donation gimmick we've ever done, a $200 donation. We got the Game Day Marathon coming up soon. It is almost November. I can't believe it. I'm actually going to be doing it the week after, on the weekend of the 12th. I am waiting to figure out when Notre Dame is playing before I announce time. So keep an ear out for that. Very excited. Going to help out the Children's Hospital Foundation of Oklahoma City. We've already raised over $10,000. Head over to gamingforhaven.com. I got streams going on Monday right now with some good old Mass Effect. We're in the 3rd game. You can make donations, vote in polls, make me drink absolutely god-awful, terrible fucking seltzers from Bud Light. I got 2 of those crimes left in my fridge, and they got to go. So $200 both frees me and ends me all at the same time. This stuff is literal garbage.
What do you have left? Turkey stuffing and...
You know what? I almost think I have I have the 2 worst ones. I have roasted marshmallow and maple pear. And maple pear is by far the worst one. The toasted marshmallow.
Is it a seltzer or a beer?
Seltzer.
Because a melted pear seems like it could have been okay.
Like toasted marshmallow, you knew that it wasn't going to go well, right?
That's going to be bad.
Yeah, and so I wasn't surprised. It's just overly sweet. It doesn't taste like marshmallow. It's just like, hey, we threw concoctions of sugar in here that made it kind of taste like it, and that's what we're rolling with. Maple pear. Have you ever had, like, imitation maple flavoring or maple syrup before, Eddie?
Oh no.
Okay, now imagine that taste. Uh-huh. Now add, yeah, we're adding something to this. Now add in, like, some weird sweetener that's not sugar or anything else that makes it taste... Like, somehow they cranked the sweetness up, and they made that imitation maple flavoring taste even worse. There's supposedly pear flavoring in there, but I can't taste it worth a shit.
That sounds terrible.
It was really bad.
Admittedly, when I said that, I was thinking that it would be more pear-forward.
That's what I thought, too. And we got an example with our great Shiner Brewery with the prickly pear. It's very sweet. Like one or two in a sitting, but it's a solid beer. But it actually tastes like pear. That's one of the handy parts. Just so you know, for edification, the pumpkin spice was a crime. It tasted, but it was just overly sweet and disgusting. And same thing with the apple crisp. It was just get a fucking hard cider. Just cut out the middleman. But anyway, that's the stuff's going on. Y'all are here for the picks. I'm ready to go, kind of. There's a full, very interesting slate going on. We have some ranked matchups. We have some big games. And we have the potential for a lot of weirdness to happen. With all that said, Eddie, are you ready, sir?
I hope you're ready to listen to somebody go through an existential crisis on a podcast. Let's go, baby!
All right, let's start the existential crisis off. 11 a.m. in God's time zone. And that is Miami and Pitt. With Pitt, you will remember, and this is where I gained a game on Eddie, where he said there's a lot of things in this world that don't make sense. Pitt covering against Clemson was not one of them. And lo and behold, Pitt covered comfortably. And now here they go after Miami has a big win, knocking off Dave Doran as a 9.5-point favorite at home. Total on this one is 61. Eddie, let the crisis begin. Here you go.
Much like that weatherman, we're going to keep fucking that chicken. Pitt is going to lose. I'm sorry. It's Halloween weekend. Get the fuck out of here. Look, Miami's been bad. We all know that. But they've been through a lot. Our beloved Derek King has hung it up. He's done. Tyler Van Dyke has come in, and as he's gotten more time, he's looked pretty good. Had 4 touchdowns last week in the big upset. And I realize this is Kenny Pickett's 27th season in college football. He is the veteran to end all veterans. I know. I'm done with this shit. Get the fuck out of here. Give me the points. Give me the money line. Fuck
you. Let's go. Well, I'm all the way against you then. That is Heisman favorite, Kenny Pickett, sir.
Hey, okay. Third in the running. Take it easy, come on.
But look, here's the thing with Pitt. They're 6-1 against the spread. Their one is still the inexplicable... What were you doing against Western Michigan? So the more I think about this, because yes, you're right. Pitt at some point has to lose.
It's still Pitt.
I think they got it out of the way. And it helps that they're...
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
I hadn't considered that.
I think they figured it out. It's like, if we're going to go full Pitt, we have to do it at the beginning of the season. Not in the middle, not in the end. So, and the other problem... is that makes me nervous on this and gives any credence to what he just said. I feel like I should add this. 52% of the bets are on Pitt, but 61% of the money are on the Canes. I'm hoping that it's just a cocaine-fueled booster over down in Miami that just threw something down. But, you know, this line has actually dropped. Pitt opened as a bigger favorite. Line's coming down. So the fact that we're under a key number, we're under 10, I can see it happening. Pitt's defense has been pretty decent. And inexplicably, like I made the Heisman joke, like Kenny Pickett's actually leading an offense that's functional. This makes no sense. I get it. Everything Eddie says makes complete sense. This isn't the Pitt we know, but fuck it. I'm riding the hot hand. I'll ride that train into the wall. Like I'll keep fucking the other chicken. There's two over here. Eddie took one, I took the other. This just became a weird chicken fucking orgy, but that's the way it is. This is why people listen to the show.
It's a good thing you don't name these episodes aside from week whatever picks, because otherwise you'd have to name it Chicken Fucking Orgy.
Hey, and look.
I don't know how that would work well with the advertisers.
Oh, well. What are they going to do? Drop me next season? Anyways, we are moving on from the chicken orgy to a good old big noon kickoff for Michigan.
Before you give the spread, which would you rather do? Actually watch this game or fuck a chicken? Genuine spit take, ladies and gentlemen. Got a genuine spit take out of Ryan Ritter right there.
There is video evidence of it. Will you ever see it? No, but it'll be on my hard drive. Wow, I might just watch this game because I would rather see Michigan pain than fucking a chicken. Somebody's got to lose this game between undefeateds. Somebody's going to be unhappy. We're going to get a Valenti rant some way, shape, or form at the end of this one. Life's going to be great. So the spread, as Eddie said, we hadn't announced it yet. Michigan, a 4-point favorite on the road against Little Brother. Total is 50.5. Here it comes. It's finally happening. Michigan's been fucking around, playing shit teams. And now the rivalry comes to roost. Harbaugh's only won one of these games. He doesn't do good against Big Ten rivals. Michigan State, even though they have looked very weird in some games, have managed to just scrape by, figure things out, and come home with the W. There is no way in hell I am taking Michigan in this game. Nope, 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 nope. Fuck Michigan. Going strong. Sticking by my morals, my standards, my creed, Eddie. I can't take Harbaugh in a rivalry game. It's been going way too well for Michigan. People are thinking if this team could make their way into the playoffs. Nah. We ain't that full chaos yet. Let's really start spicing it up. Give me Sparty. Who do you got?
Yeah, we're going to get into principles a lot later on in these picks. And, of course, the most firm principle that we have here on this podcast is fuck Michigan. So we're taking Sparty. But look, Michigan couldn't beat Sparty last year when they only won two fucking games. Harbaugh's only beat Sparty three times since he got hired in 2015. That's fucking pathetic. And we know that Harbaugh can't beat a top 10 team.
Oh, yeah, there's that too.
And I mean, you look at this Michigan team, no matter who they play, they want it to be within a field goal, no matter what. So you're giving me points.
Yeah.
I will take Sparty all day.
Michigan's offense is a slightly better Wisconsin. Like, that's really what you're throwing out there.
They're considerably better Wisconsin because Wisconsin's really bad on offense, but
yeah, but they're McNamara.
That's still a very bad offense.
Yeah, it's really, really bad. Which works great for this game, you know.
Yeah.
Tell you what, this 50-point total. Ooh,
oh, way too high.
Looks juicy.
Like three touchdowns too high.
All right, moving on. 11 a.m. in God's time zone on ABC, going opposite that Big Ten rock fight is Texas and Baylor. Baylor has gone from a pick'em to a 3-point favorite. 61 is the total. Eddie, who you got?
I got Bijan Robinson. I do not trust the Longhorns. I don't trust Sark. I don't trust their defense. But I trust Bijan Robinson. Baylor cannot slow him down, and I don't think Baylor can keep up. I'm going to take the Horns on the best player on the field and better athletes.
Well, Eddie, this is fight number two. Coming out the gate swinging. I'm fading the Horns because they broke against OU. Because 2 weeks in a row, they've had it, and then they haven't. And now they're coming in. What helps them is they're an underdog in this one. And, you know, Baylor.
Tom Herman is a... Oh,
yeah, that doesn't work anymore, unfortunately. The song's still great.
Sarkeesian is an...
No, yeah, it just doesn't work as well. It doesn't work. Look, Baylor's been playing some solid football. The only game they didn't cover was when they dropped one to Oklahoma State. But they beat a pretty semi-decent BYU team, and they looked pretty good doing it. They've taken care of business other than, again, the one loss against them. They've taken care of business pretty well in the Big 12. Granted, they haven't really faced the meat of the conference yet. So this is really the first kind of real shot to do that, in a game more people will be watching than the melee with Oklahoma State. And it's the in Texas, feel. Baylor, if you want to talk about little brother feel, oh boy. Baylor against pretty much just about any Texas school, pretty much about ticks that one off. But yeah, the thing with me is that ever since OU, Texas has looked bad. I mean, I'm with you. Bijan Robinson, by far the best player on the field. Problem is that I don't know if they forget he exists when they have a lead or what they're doing.
Right?
And that's really been the strangest thing about both of these. And, I'm starting to believe, Eddie, this may be a hot take, that Sarkisian may just not be a very good head coach. I mean, just throwing it out there.
It's possible.
So, yeah, I'm going to fade the horns. This is a lot more about me just not trusting Texas. I mean, I could see Texas jumping out to a 21-point lead and then just them forgetting how to play football for an entire half, and then all of a sudden they lose by 10 and just wonder what happened. Because one thing that is real bad, oh, my God, that defense is fucking garbage. Rough. It's real rough. So
especially the rushing D is terrible. I can't disagree with anything you just said.
And that's the thing. Like, you got Bijan Robinson. Keep the offense on the field. Keep your defense off of it. But they're just they can't help themselves. They just won't do it.
Yeah, the only thing that makes me feel – well, it would make me feel better, but it doesn't. And this is going to be an important thing that we talk about. 56% of the bets, 75% of the money's on Baylor. You think, ooh, fade, maybe. No, the line's moved 3 points. Vegas is just playing catch-up. So
yeah, they have moved quite a bit. Like I said, this opened in a few different places as a pick'em and a whole field goal. Yeah, so basically it's still in pick'em range. It's just the field goal, home field advantage. So go ahead and give me the crazy Waco Bears there. All right, next up. Boy, you thought you had a rock fight going on Fox. Why don't you flip it over to ESPN to really defile yourself? Iowa and Wisconsin, baby. 37-point total. Wisconsin.
Would you rather fuck a chicken or would you rather watch this game?
You know what? Now
the chicken's looking pretty good, huh?
God. How many times is that line going to be used? All right. So anyways, where was I? Yeah, total's 37, which has actually gone
too
up
high.
Half a point since it opened.
Too high.
Hilarious. Wisconsin is favored in this one. It wasn't too long ago. This is the number two team in the nation. And fucking Wisconsin at home is favored by 3.5 points. Oh, God. There's a couple reasons I'm going to take Iowa here. Number one, this is an absolute rock fight. I could see this being decided by a field goal. It's inverse shootout, take the point. Same logic. Nobody's going to score. It's just going to be field goals left and right. Maybe a touchdown. It stays close because this game, God, does it feel like 6-3 easy. And here's the other thing that I'm taking him is that for whatever reason, Iowa manages to get turnovers just like crazy. I don't know what kind of voodoo magic they've casted this season. But the one time the turnover luck ran out on them, they lost to Purdue. Here's the thing. They're facing Wisconsin, a team that I think we have seen firsthand does not protect the football very well. So for those reasons, knowing Wisconsin's good for turnovers, Iowa seems to be magnetically attracted to them. I'll take them in this rock fight. Give me the points. Who do you got, Eddie?
The thought of laying points with Wisconsin fucking disgusts me. But
oh no!
I stand before you, a man of principle.
This is the existential crisis.
This is the existential crisis. Because I changed things up today. I went through and kind of made my picks based on just how I felt and what I knew first, and then looked at the betting numbers like 45 minutes before we started to see how that would affect me. Ryan, the numbers on this game, 79% of the tickets, 70% of the money on Iowa.
Yeah.
Spaplus has Wisconsin winning by 9.2 points in this game.
That does not make a goddamn bit of sense.
You are correct that Iowa is one of the top turnover margin teams in the country. Lord knows Graham Mertz is a interception machine. But I'm now going to try and rationalize myself into Wisconsin since I'm taking it because of principle. Last week, they put up 30 points, which I think is more than the rest of the season combined, if I did my math correctly.
It probably is.
And if I remember properly, Graham Mertz threw 8 passes. Like, they knew that they fucked up, and they're just like, okay, cool. We're just going to fucking pound the ball and play defense. Because that's who Wisconsin is. That's who they were with Jonathan Taylor. That's who they were with fucking Ron Dayne 28 years ago, however the hell long ago it was when we were children. That's what Wisconsin is. And they finally remembered that. And Iowa's offense is pretty fucking garbage, too.
It's real bad. They just don't turn it over as much. Now, right. They did against Purdue, but yeah, it's pretty bad.
Yeah, I think this total is still a touchdown too high, and I will be on the under 37. Don't even question it. But as a principal pick, I am taking Wisconsin, and I hate it.
Okay. Look, you got to stick to your guns. You got to. I will say, I saw the same numbers you did. I was like, oh, I don't like this. But you know what? It's just one of those things. It's number defying what Iowa's been doing all season. They came back to earth, and now it's just going to be weird again. That's sometimes there's no logic in this game, and that's just what you got to roll with. All right, next up, speaking of things, an existential crisis is happening. Florida State and Clemson. Clemson is a 9.5-point favorite against the Seminoles after their huge win against UMass. Took them to the woodshed, Eddie.
They beat that ass. can't spell UMass without that ass.
This game's at 2:30 in Central Time Zone on ESPN. Who do you got, Eddie?
Now, Ryan, I thought I was going to have another existential crisis. The numbers were 76-86 on Florida State. I was like, I don't want to fucking take Clemson, man. Don't make me take Clemson. But spreads moved to 1.5. Okay. Vegas realizes they fucked up. I'm safe. Once again, everything is on the under here. But there's no way I'm going to lay that many points with Clemson. Obviously, Florida State's had its problems. But we saw firsthand, Jermaine Johnson, Florida State's defensive end, is a bad motherfucker. He's got 6.5 sacks on the season. Against this O-line, he's getting at least 2 sacks this game.
Like, I could see that. I really could, especially against this line.
With as bad as they are and all the, you know, DJ got benched last week. Apparently he's going to start again, but now you throw in, oh, you got shaky emotional shit. Nah. I'm really glad the line moved because I did not want to have to principal play Clemson here. Give me the fighting Jack Crosby's.
Man, I can feel the tension of getting that pick, man.
There's a lot going into this play.
Eddie's fucking chickens, and he might be vomiting by the end of this episode.
I did not say I would fuck a chicken yet. Only you did.
No, you said you were going to be right off the bat. I have audio evidence. Anyways. My exact notes for this, there's no chance I'm taking Clemson. I just can't. The line is garbage. And here's the other thing. I forget where I heard it. I think it was Jess Spatana on Ranks, the podcast you love advertising on this podcast.
The greatest Notre Dame football podcast in the land.
Teeing him up. Let him go ahead and take his swing right now. Doing a better job than the Braves offense with the bats.
Heyo. I'd make a joke about your team, but they were eliminated like 3 months ago.
They were eliminated as soon as they took the field, man. Let's be honest. I knew it wasn't going to happen. I didn't think it was going to be that bad, but oh God.
It got ugly.
It was ugly in a hurry. Glad they built a nice new stadium for that. Great times. Anyways, like, yeah, And it was just Satana saying, it's like, it's really great that Clemson keeps getting these double digits or near double digit spreads. And if you keep putting your money on Clemson on those spreads, I don't know what to tell you anymore. Jess, you are very wise in your words, because I completely agree. And that's where this was. This line started at 11. 11! No, not a chance. Yeah, give me the Fighting Jacks as well. Look, you know, you're coming off that big UMass win, and Clemson's licking their wounds after barely surviving Syracuse. Ooh. Oh, no, wait. It was barely surviving Syracuse, then flat losing to Pitt. And now, so, yeah, they're really licking wounds right now. Not a chance. Give me Florida State. All right, last one before the break. 2:30 p.m. in God's time zone over on ABC. Texas Tech, freshly firing a head coach, Matt Wells, faces Oklahoma, who again has big, big points here. 19.5 at home. Now, OU burned me pretty hard last week because I don't know what the fuck they were doing against Kansas. Here's what I'm going with. Even though it was a very, you know, Kansas, Eddie, well known as a Lawrence, you just don't simply walk into Lawrence as a freshman QB, Heisman favorite, dubbed by Kirk Herbstreit way too soon, and just simply walk out of there with an easy victory. That's right? Makes sense?
I feel like you very often do walk into Lawrence, Kansas with a freshman quarterback recently named Heisman contender by Herbie and walk out with a victory. Yeah, I think you do actually usually do that pretty easily. Yeah,
jokes aside, Caleb got it together in the second half. I don't know what was going on. I mean, yeah, Kansas is not that good. Neither is Tech. I honestly, when I first put this game on the sheet, I'm like, this is probably something I might take Tech in. But now they're without a coach. I don't see a circling the wagons here. I see an oh shit coming, because Sooners are back at home. Caleb Williams' first start at home, pretty damn good. So whatever magic is out there in Soonerland, I'm going to go ahead and lean back into it, looking for them to get back on track while the Red Raiders are just looking at the sunset, trying to figure out where it all went wrong and who the fuck they're going to hire, because I got no clue. Who do you got, Eddie?
Well, first off, we both know who they're going to hire.
No, you really think they're going to go Dykes? Is that where you're leaning?
No, they're going Art Briles.
Oh,
We survived this long without him.
No.
The quote from the AD when asked directly about Art Briles of, well, we aren't going to comment on specific people because we don't know how that will be felt by certain folks.
Now I'm having the existential crisis.
Trust me, it's going to get bad. It's going to get bad. But
now
you know
I'm really
what?
Glad I'm betting against them. Fuck them.
Hey, you know what, Ryan? Fuck it. Give me Tech.
Oh my gosh.
I want the dead coach bounce. Look, Texas Tech beat Kansas 41-14.
And we know the transitive property in college football is foolproof.
The only reason that Oklahoma beat Kansas is because Caleb Williams didn't know if what he did was illegal or not. And he got lucky on the coin flip. Now, you may point to the fact that Oklahoma beat TCU 52-31. And TCU beat Tech 52-31. But you know what? 52 minus 31 is only 19 points. That's still within the number. Give me Tech. Don't worry about the transitive part. Don't worry about it.
I just have a question before we take a break. Do you need to do some more stretching after that? Because it seemed like you were really working it there.
we're reaching, bud. We're reaching.
All right. Look, we'll take a break. We'll let Eddie stretch out whatever logic he's got going now, and we'll get to the world's largest outdoor cocktail party right after this. Loyal listeners, if you ever wanted to get a deeper insight into the Notre Dame football program from somebody that lived it as both a player as well as in the inside of the athletic department, we suggest picking up a copy of If These Walls Could Talk, Stories from Notre Dame Fighting Irish Sideline, Locker Room, and Press Box by none other than Reggie Brooks himself. Reggie will dive into everything from his time playing under Lou Holtz all the way up to the experiences of watching Brian Kelly lead today's Fighting Irish. And we are happy to extend a 25% offer off the book. just by going to herloyalsons.com/book. Make sure you use the code WALLSND25. That's WALLSND25 when you make your order. Again, head over to herloyalsons.com/book. Use the code WALLSND25 and enjoy a great addition to your Notre Dame football library. And we are back for a little as the world's largest outdoor cocktail party fires up with Georgia and Florida. And I'm not going to make the line joke that I could make because I'm tired of them. I want that band to go away, that quote-unquote band to go away forever. Georgia favored by 14 in this one. Total is 51. Eddie, the floor is yours.
Ryan, welcome back to my existential crisis. I want to read you my notes before I check things.
Okay.
Rivalry, don't care. Florida gave Bama a scare, don't care. Florida off a bye, don't care. Same with Georgia. However, the money is 73-73 on the Dogs. Mm-hmm. Spapluss only has a 7-point win for the Dogs. The line has not moved off 14 at all. I hate this. It pains me, but Vegas is better at this than I am. Give me the Florida Gators.
Oh, my notes say that Georgia's the murder train, Mullen's on the ropes, and Florida ain't at home. It's a neutral site. I saw the same numbers, but there are some of these where I'm just like, I understand the principle, but I can't. I've seen this. This Florida team has inexplicably gone from, damn, they nearly beat Alabama, to, damn, what happened to them? I guess it's been real weird. And
it's such a question mark.
I'm getting such weird vibes. Like I said, Mullen on the ropes, that's the big one for me. This team really feels like they got some quit in them. And Georgia, that defense, man. They make it's you terrifying. Quit pretty hard.
Terrifying.
It is the best single unit out there in college football. That's what I'm leaning on here, because the way Florida gave Bama a scare was because Bama's defense, as we have now seen, is not as good as it typically we expect Bama to be. It's not bad, but it's not Bama level. It's not good. Yeah, it ain't great, but man.
Georgia's defense's numbers are tracking at the same level that like LSU's offense 2019 tracked offensively.
Yeah, and so
this feels bad. I am forcing myself to make the pick I don't want to make. I don't like this pick. You're on the right side as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, but the last time I said, Eddie, what are you doing with this public nonsense? You gained a 5-game lead on me that I'm clawing back from. So with all these fights we're having, it's either going to go really, really well for me or really, really bad. I don't see too much in between, to be honest.
Well, they haven't all been on that principle, sadly.
No, they have not been. This is true. All right, here's another one. This is my existential crisis because this is the one I haven't made a pick on, like written down, know what I'm doing. And that is the Ponies, Eddie, taking on Houston.
Pony up!
We're getting to the nighttime hours, 6 p.m. over on ESPN2. Eddie, I am not convinced Houston is the favorite in this game. The whole world, I mean the whole fucking world. I didn't write the number down specifically, but it's in the 90s on both sides.
86-95.
Eddie, this line stinks. I don't trust it. I've seen this Houston team play. They're not that good. On the other side, SMU's been rolling, man. They've been doing great. Been doing fantastic. Covering. If you told me what this line was going to be, I would say, okay, SMU in between 3 to 7 points, somewhere in there. I didn't have Houston being the favorite in this game. All right, I'm going to go where I was leaning. I don't like it. I don't trust it because I think SMU is going to win this football game outright. But that is so much fucking money on one side of this equation. And Eddie, you've said it. about line movement. This line has moved a whole fucking half a point. I don't think it's budging. I'm with you on your logic here that you've been throwing down. I hate this, but go ahead and give me Houston. Who do you got?
Yeah, this was another one of them. I want to take the Ponies. They're my boys. I want the undefeated SMU-Cincinnati matchup so bad.
Oh, my God. That's the other thing I think. It's like SMU's the only roadblock. Houston.
But, I mean, Houston also has a game left against Cincinnati.
They do.
And yes, Houston lost their first game of the year against Tech, but they've won every game since. They had that game against Tech, too. They sure did. They're 3-2 against the number since. SMU's defense has been playing very well, but Houston's offense has also been playing very well. Total at 62, I think shootout makes sense. At home, I think will help Houston. I don't know how many fans will be around because there's going to be a World Series game going on that I think anyone in the city of Houston is going to care a lot more about that.
Yeah.
I don't expect the home crowd's going to do much, but then again, do you ever really think you're getting much home crowd with Houston?
Shots!
I'm with you here. I don't like this pick, but 86-95. Tall and shiny for a reason, baby.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, well, moving on, we're heading to the primetime ABC event, 6:30 in God's times. Oh, wait, I skipped. My bad. Back up a half hour, 6 o'clock, ESPN. Ole Miss, Lane Kiffin heading down to the plains of Auburn. Auburn favored in this one by 2.5. Total is 66. Who do you got, Eddie?
Thank God there is no bullshit with the betting numbers. What the fuck is this spread? Why is everyone on Auburn?
I'm
hearing about people who are like, oh, I'm surprised Auburn's not favored by more. What the fuck, Auburn, are you watching? What Ole Miss are you watching? This line is fucking stupid. Okay, Auburn beat Arkansas. I'm not impressed. You know why? Because I gave that pick out because Arkansas had gotten its ass kicked for 2 weeks in a row and Auburn was picking up the fucking scraps. They got exactly what it was. I will take Matt Corral and Lane Kiffin over Bo Nix and the fucking south of the Mason-Dixon line Rolovich any fucking day of the week. Oldest Mississippi Achabar Ryan. Give it to me.
Oh, man. Yeah, we got another vaccine bullshit situation going on. And Jesus Christ, I can't believe it. Yes, Auburn. And I'm surprised. It's so funny, like, when I retweeted the article, I had people's like, well, nobody in Alabama will mandate. I'm like, did you not read, like,
Mississippi Auburn, just did it.
I know. Like, Auburn is, to go there and to be employed there, you have to have it. So, yeah, we got that bullshit distraction going on, which, Jesus Christ, you know, that's a playbook you should follow as Rolos. Anyway, look, Bo Nix, to his credit, has looked pretty solid these past couple of weeks.
He has.
That's great. Here's the problem. That's one. I'm not convinced yet that is permanent. And if I'm going to fade Bo and he proves me wrong, that makes me happy. Congratulations. I'm hedging happiness. But even if Bo Nix is good, even if I give him that, Eddie, and knowing Ole Miss's defense is trash, even if I give him that, Ole Miss is a better football team.
Yeah.
Auburn's defense has been decent, but it is also worn down because the fucking offense sucks so bad.
Yeah, this isn't even a cartoon stink line scenario. It's we're in an alternate universe right now because I listened to Stanford Steve and the Bear earlier today, and they were fairly high on Auburn, and every prediction I've seen is high on Auburn. I'm like, what are we doing? I know Cam Newton can't play in the NFL. Did the ongoing investigation find an extra year of eligibility for him? Like, the fuck are we doing, guys?
No, look, I mean, Auburn could win this football game. There is a chance they could win this football game. But I'm telling you what, Lane Kiffin is on some incredible bullshit right now. Just the Vols fans, all the trash they threw at the stadium, I think is giving him – this unlimited, like, it's the fucking Infinity Stones being thrown at him right now. He is just ready to snap half the SEC out of existence. And he's rolling. He does actually have the Heisman favorite playing quarterback from him, at least in my opinion. Matt Corral's looking great. Yeah. Ole Miss's defense is a concern, but tell you what makes a concerning defense look good, playing an offense that isn't very consistent. Look, I love to be wrong for personal reasons, but I am still not convinced. You got to show me, Bo. And one of those, hey, they've looked good the past couple of weeks. One of those was looking somewhat decent against the scary Georgia defense, which still wasn't great. Okay? So let's just throw that out there.
I got you one better. Lane Kiffin is fucking Sebastian Shaw. Remember X-Men First Class?
Oh my god,
whatever you hit him with, fucking turns it into Hellfire.
I like that, turns it right back at you.
And what better representation of the Hellfire Club do we have in college football than the Grove at Ole Miss?
Oh, absolutely. I love it. That's pretty great. That's a great one. All right, now we will go to the primetime game over on ABC at 6:30 in God's time zone. Penn State is playing Illinois. Oh, wait a second. Hold on. Let me check my notes here, James Franklin. You're playing goddamn Ohio State. You are an 18.5 point dog. I don't know what kind of mental shipment you just did with your fucking brain. There is not a chance. Ohio State murder machine right now. They, whatever CJ Stroud had issues he had earlier, they're ironed out. They look exactly like they thought they would look at the beginning of the season. They look great. Penn State is trending in the wrong direction. And when you have, and Franklin had that line, not once, but twice, that they were just focused on preparing for Illinois. Now, I don't know if you thought that the overtimes were still going on in your fucking head, but I watched what you did against that team. You took, like, part of my life I couldn't get back. Look, at least my kids laughed at you. They thought it was hilarious that nobody could fucking score a point. They were really confused as to how they were on the 3-goddamn-yard line and a team with a single-digit number next to their name couldn't fucking do it. It was incredible. It was great. It was the worst thing I ever watched. There is not a chance. This line could be 38, and I would still consider taking it because I don't think Franklin's head's in the right place. Now you add that to where Franklin's head is focused and he can't manage the game. Oh, yeah, this is going to be great. Give me the fucking Buckeyes. Jesus Christ. You got Eddie.
So, principles.
Oh, don't play.
Here's stick with me. I got scared because the numbers were 71-84 on Ohio State.
But it hasn't moved that much.
But well, no. You know what? The only thing better is than it moving towards the other side.
What's that?
It moving another point in Ohio State's direction because Vegas realizes even with all that money, they're still fucked. That's what we call
reverse movement.
That's what we call reverse line movement, children. Look, Franklin just signed with fucking Jimmy Sexton 2 days ago.
He is that so dude fucking is gone.
Gonzo. You brought up how yesterday on his Zoom presser, he twice said how focused he was on Illinois and not the outside coaching rumors. Meanwhile,
and you're
facing Ohio State of all times
to mix up your opponent.
That's the other thing. Ohio State is back on their bullshit. They figured things out and are just beating the piss out of people right now. If Oregon comes to Ohio State right now, Ohio State wins by 17. I will happily lay the points with the Buckeyes. There is no chance I'm going to give any kind of a pick to half of that Cro-Magnon era bullshit that we had to watch. Where a 9-overtime game still cashed the fucking under, Ryan.
And it was comfortably cashing the under. It didn't just cash, it comfortably cashed it.
a genuine crime against football. There were two crimes against football that needed people thrown into fucking Gitmo. That bullshit and the god-awful Iowa State taunting penalty that took a touchdown off the board. Which was, I hope none of those refs ever work again.
That was bullshit.
Criminal.
That cost money too, assholes.
Oh yeah, sure did. Needed that. That actually gave you a point, I think.
I think we were both.
You were also on Iowa State.
Yeah, we were both on Iowa State. We both took the L. So I should have been 9-3 last week. 7-6.
Criminal. I Bad people. Yeah, Buckeyes.
Yeah, I mean, that's, I couldn't believe, like, of all lives. You know what? I really hope he's going to Southern Cal, because I already don't like that asshole.
He's not good. I'm sorry, he's a bad game day coach. I've been rooting for him to go to SC for 3 years.
He's not good, and he is so, so easy to hate. So easy to hate.
Oh, for sure.
I'm ready for it. Let's go ahead and boogie. All right, well, next up, we got a future Notre Dame opponent watching here. That's why I shoehorned this one in. So before we get to the Notre Dame game, we have ACC After Dark, at 9:15 p.m. in the Central Time Zone on ESPN2. We got the Virginia Hoos taking on BYU at home. BYU is favored by 2.5. Eddie, who do you got?
I don't get this line, Ryan. I really don't. BYU is only 3-5 against the number. They are 6-2 on the year. But Virginia is a covering machine. 5-2 straight up, 5-2 against the spread. You know, they've covered four of their last four games. I mean, shit, last week, with only 17 minutes time of possession, they dropped 70 fucking points. I realize their defense sucks, but that offense is incredible. And BYU hasn't exactly shown much of an offense this year. So even against a bad defense like that, how much can they really take advantage? I don't think that much. I'm gonna take Bronco Mendenhall in the homecoming.
Another against the spread number for you, Eddie. BYU as the favorite, 1-3 against the spread.
Hey.
This really feels like one of those, it feels like, you know, how Vegas, especially, I think they do this a lot of college football, to where they take a look at, you know, two teams. They're like, well, who does the public feel is the better team? Like, is not paying attention to what the fuck's going on. And BYU's getting a little bit more national attention because of some of the games they played, I guess. And maybe they're expecting more West Coast people to have watched it. I don't know what it is. But yeah, this line didn't make sense to me either. When they are, like I said, when they're the favorite, when they're expected to win, it doesn't go well. The other game I'm remembering, I would need to double check. I probably should have put this in my notes. But like when they went off and faced Baylor, I feel like they were the favorite because Baylor had just lost to Oklahoma State. BYU was kind of looking like they were back again. But I definitely wasn't expecting them to get shellacked by Baylor. So
they were actually a 5.5-point dog.
Well, then fuck me.
Since I had it in front of me, I figured I'd give it to you.
You know what? That's great.
Also, two and two is a favorite, not 1-3.
What?
Yeah.
Action Network, are you lying to me?
I'm using what Sportsline has for me.
Okay, let me pull this back up because now I'm worried. Now I'm worried. Let's see. No, we got spread. Yeah, they're showing me as the favorite on the spread. They're 1-3. And 3-, what did you say BYU was against the spread? I got 3-4.
3-5 against the spread, 2-2 is a favorite.
Okay, well, I wonder if Action Network has some broken-ass logic here.
They did not cover against Arizona. They did not cover against South Florida. They did cover against Utah State.
Yeah, all I got is the Utah State cover.
Oh, and they did not cover against Washington State. So yeah. Action Network doesn't understand their own. Huh? I'm confused too. Fuck it.
All right,
this
whatever.
This is the statistical accuracy that you come to this podcast for, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, because what I'm showing here is because they have their last five. They have them as a 3.5-point favorite against Wazoo, which they failed to cover. Maybe that's the difference, because that may have been different on Sportsline. There was 6.5-point favorite against BYU, failed to cover that. They lost outright. And then the South Florida, the one they have winning is Utah State, where they were an 8-point favorite. So maybe there is some differentiation, and it may be a hook or something like that.
Yeah, or maybe they're saying
No, it's not straight up because they beat Wazoo.
No. I think Sportsline is saying their straight up record as a favorite was 2-2.
Well, Well, that actually, okay. There we go. Yeah, there we go.
All right. We fixed it.
We fixed it. We figured it out. Yeah, I should look at... Well, on the money line, they say, is the favorite. BYU's 3-1. So I have no idea what the fuck they're looking at. Anyways, the point is, BYU is a favorite, not great. So there I'm sticking is. With that logic. Moving on. Where'd who go? All right. Notre Dame. Another nighttime game on NBC. God, I had a big old case of FOMO seeing that little light show that they did. It's awesome when Notre Dame actually does something cool. And I'm like, where did this come from?
We're just stealing shit from people. Like, we combined Georgia and Wisconsin and stole both their shit and made it awesome.
And yeah, we made it awesome. And what I loved is the fact that we did Let Me Clear My Throat instead of House of Pain's Jump. So, but that's not the part that they played there. They did the everybody jump part, and crowd got into it. It was awesome to see. I loved it. It was amazing. The team loved it. They seemed hype into it.
The sideline video was like Williams, Kyron, man, losing his shit. I was like, okay, here we. Hey, any old person, any fucking boomer ass Notre Dame fan who's like, well, why don't they just do the 18-12 overture and get on with the game and perhaps acknowledge a philosophy professor or some bullshit? Shut the fuck up. This is what the players like. This is what people like.
Apparently they did that after 18-12, so it made it even like you had the lull, and then all of a sudden the lights went out.
Yeah.
Like, that's all. They played everybody like a fiddle there.
Love
and
it.
You know everybody's going to be looking for it. Oh, that was great. But anyways, to the game, Eddie. To the game. Notre Dame is a 3.5-point favorite. They opened as a 1.5-point favorite against North Carolina. 62.5 is the total. Here's the bottom line for me. Notre Dame, their offense, yeah, it's questionable. We all know that. Cone, though, looked pretty solid. Wasn't great by any means, and we couldn't score from the 4-yard line, which is highly concerning. One of these days, we're just going to let Buckner run the show inside the 20, and then we'll kind of let things figure out from there. I don't know why we aren't. I'm not worried about some of the other turnovers he had. Let's just do that, because Cone has turned the ball over in there too, so fuck it. Just let's get the running game going. But honestly, it doesn't matter, I think, who's quarterback against this team, because North Carolina, too many goddamn ends in this pick. Their defense sucks, Eddie. It is so fucking bad.
Max out here recruiting quarterbacks and safeties again.
Oh, Jesus Christ. But not only that, like, Mac has come out and basically chided the media for saying, how dare you say we were a top 10 team? We clearly are not, which I'm sure was a message that was very well received by his entire team. Look, Sam Howell, still a good quarterback. I understand Kyle Hamilton's out. If only we had a data point for how well Notre Dame can play against North Carolina without Kyle Hamilton. Oh, wait, we do. And guess what? That version of North Carolina, that offense was so much better, had so many more weapons. Both those running backs, gone. Receivers, couldn't name one of them. If you had a gun to my head, Sam Howell can do a lot. He really can. He's got a whole bunch of talent. There just ain't shit around him. And the problem is that defense is going to do him absolutely no favors. If Notre Dame wants to take the air out of the ball, they can. If they want to dink and duck down the field or run the ball or whatever. So it is scary to have Notre Dame covering a spread, especially because I think the public is heavier on Notre Dame's side, but that line has moved just a little bit. It's moving in Notre Dame's favor. So, yeah, I'm going to go ahead and take the Irish in this one. I was actually wondering if I should fade because I don't like where that hook is, and this Notre Dame team, we have seen them need field goals to win games at the last second when not expected. However, those games have not been at Notre Dame Stadium. At Notre Dame Stadium, things have gone really well. Ignore Cincinnati. That didn't happen. That's not being used in this comparison because that's a good football team. This is not a good football team. I'm sorry. Give me the Irish. Who do you got, Eddie?
Yeah, thankfully this line has moved 2 points, so I don't have to principal play this because it is 68-77 on the Irish, which did not make me feel good. But like you said, this offense is worse than the one last year that couldn't get over on a team without Kyle Hamilton. Obviously, the defense is not nearly as good as last year's on the whole, but they have been playing better and better. And more importantly, North Carolina's off our defense gave up 38 fucking points to Duke.
Like, that's not, they were playing basketball out there, and that was a good score.
No, fucking, like, this Duke team is bad.
They're real bad.
Look, there is going to come a time to fade the Irish. It's probably going to be the Virginia game. We'll get to that. We'll get to that in time.
Mm-hmm.
But this Carolina defense is so bad that I feel like, honestly, Jack, I have maligned Jack Cohn, I think, fairly throughout the year, but I thought Jack Cohn had a very, very good game last week. Well, we got to do something about the drops. Like, it feels like every game somebody just decides to inexplicably drop three balls.
Remember, you're a real boy. You're a real boy. Yeah, you exist. You're there.
Maybe it's a Back to the Future thing, and he hasn't made sure his parents fuck yet, so his hands are starting to dissipate. Like, Kevin Austin had that game. Michael Mayer had that game. I mean, Braden Lindsay had the wide open TD game. Like, everybody seems, except, you know who hasn't had that game yet? Avery fucking Davis.
Just secret Star World.
Secret MVP of the year, Avery Davis.
The strong foundation of this team, just as we all predicted.
Ninth year senior, ninth position played.
When you need a stable receiver, rely on the former quarterback.
Or former cornerback. Or former safety. Or former running back.
Yeah, there's all kinds.
Former outside linebacker for a couple weeks? I don't know.
You know what? Might as well. Let's just throw it all in there.
We'll both take the Irish. We'll the fade time will come, but it's not here yet.
You seem to be picking the one I'm eyeing too. There is a strong hint of I'm really concerned that Navy might be back on their bullshit too after what they did to Cincinnati. But I'm hoping that that bullet's been fired out of the chamber, because that was a little, guys, what the fuck are you doing? Please stop.
It was nice to see somebody else go through that.
Right? It really was. It's like, you know what? We've been there, and for whatever reason, like, Ken Niumatalolo has like sacrificed and sold his soul. It's like, you know what? We may not win every single one of these, but we're going to give a heart attack to like a really good team and or Notre Dame if we don't run into anybody else good. It's usually us every single time.
Yeah, because usually there's nobody else on the schedule.
Yeah. So, you know what? It all works. I like the picks. We're going to have some fun this week, Eddie. Let's see. We got some battles this time. We only had two last week. We got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Oh, boy. Last time that happened.
You could potentially take the lead this week, Ryan.
I could potentially need to take $200 out of my checking account and put it to the side.
I mean, I'd prefer we do that one.
Well, let's see what happens here. But you know what? Even when we've had a lot of battles, we've still both have come out on top more often than not. Let's hope that keeps on going. So, Eddie, with all that said, send us home. Avoid the chickens, maybe.
Ryan, I came into this podcast in a bad mood because of today. But you know what? That's not fair, because kids, you know what we've done? We've beat Southern Cal's bitch ass 4 years in a row. There is a class of upperclassmen at Southern Cal who has never beaten Notre Dame. I have had plenty of things to say about Brian Kelly over the years. I stand by many of them. But the one thing that I will always and forever give him ultimate credit for is turning the rivalry around against Southern Cal. Now, some folks may point to the fact of, well, isn't that more just Pete Carroll left? You know, maybe.
Potato.
But, fuck them. 4 in a row. They have not won in South Bend in like a decade. And damn it, that is a beautiful, beautiful thing. Shout out to Crazy Train. Shout out to Night Games. Shout out to Kibler's Slurpees, who we'll never fucking see again. Fucking clown ass trash. Thank you to Jackson Dart for taking another week to get healthy. God, it's good to beat those sons of bitches. We're gonna keep winning. Let's just go. Why lose now? It would be genuinely silly, kids. So you know what? Have fun. Enjoy your trick-or-treating. I hope that you find the house that has the candy with the drugs in it that the local news has been warning us about for 20 years.
Still because, looking for it.
Man, that'd be fun, huh?
They will be my best friends.
Do not come to my house. I will give you no candy. I won't actually be here. I'll be on a plane coming home. But as always, go Irish. Hail Gambler.
All right, and that will do it for us. Thank you so much for joining the show. Why don't you come back and subscribe via Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, wherever you happen to get your podcast feeds at. Sim time will be Thursday, 9 p.m. Central over at twitch.tv/herlittlesons. Come chat it up with us at Discord at herlittlesons.com/discord. And as always, you can catch us at our home at herlittlesons.com. Until next time, y'all, go Irish, beat Tar Heels, have a good one.